Good afternoon and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy and I'm joined by a whole crew. I have my co-host, Mr. Mike Yakubik. I have our station manager, Joe Nowitzki, and our development director, Mr. Russ Fry, in studio with us this afternoon. And we'll begin, as we always do, with a prayer, and we'll do our prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father,
and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, Joe, before we get started, you know I like correcting you, so you gave Russ the wrong title in your intro, so you need to correct yourself right away, okay?
Yeah, I get a new title every time somebody talks about me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, whatever, everybody's here in studio to do the show.
Yeah let's.
So what is your official title, Russ?
It's the Community Relations Director. No, I'm sorry. I can't even get it right. It's Community Relations Coordinator.
Yeah, that sounds much more important. Much more important.
Yeah, I'm going to do this the easy way. This is Night Talk, and we're all knights.
There you go.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe I take the hassle off of Joe for a minute or two.
There you go.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah, there's a lot happening. We were just
kibitzing and
talking. Uneven keel there this afternoon, so to speak.
I think right there for a few seconds, we sounded like the bishop sound during the conference, because I know they're talking about having no time on the debates, mm-hmm. and then other bishops want to have no limit to debate time. Right. So it's kind of just the same way we are here in the studio. Everybody has their opinion, and it's never the same.
Sure. It sounds like downtown in Washington, D.C. there on Capitol Hill is what it sounds like.
It's something. This has been real turmoil in a lot of things that are happening, you know, critical race theory and all the people that are talking about things. I saw something or read something that I thought was really neat, and I kind of like him, Charles Barkley. I think he's kind of funny. I like him because I golf, and Charles golfs like I do, you know.
Some days
he'll be good, and other days, man, he can't do anything. But he had come out, and he's getting off the show that he was on with the NBA.
Yeah.
And his reasoning is, I thought it's kind of what's happening, I think, to all of us today. He said he's not having fun anymore. You can't joke about anything. Everything is so serious. And you know, I think that's a real shame, because I think that's what God made us, to have a sense of humor, to laugh about things that are happening. And I personally don't know how some people can survive without being able to laugh. I mean, there's some really nasty things going on in the world. I mean, I heard one thing that really was kind of gross this morning. Guy, I guess, killed his mother a year or two ago. And he put her in baggies and Tupperware, and he's been eating her. And finally the cops caught up to her. So, I mean, you know, this kind of stuff that our country, I mean, not this wasn't in our country, but the world is really facing some weird times and really things that you just can't imagine are happening.
And you know what, quite honestly, you know, we have said, and I've said over the last 9 years I've been here, that we need to get down on our knees, get the rosary beads out of our pocket if you happen to be Catholic. If you don't, whichever way you pray, whether you're Christian or Muslim or Hindu or whatever, we all need to get down on our knees and pray, because this country and this world is in a real bad place, and somebody's got their finger on that nuki poo button. And if they push that button, guys, hang it up, because it's all over.
Well, I think that's the thing that bothers me the most, is that the majority of people, whether you're in this country or other countries, don't feel the way that the 0.1% that are getting all the grease, that wheel is really small, and yet you know we're allowing it to happen.
Well, you know, this this is enough a downer. I mean, you know, we're starting out the morning pretty bad. What I'm interested in is, Mike, you said about golf, and what's the deal with tomorrow's golf tournament?
Yep, we have our golf tournament Friday, so this will be airing right after the golf tournament, but this is for St. Joseph's School, and right now they've done really well. Mike Convey is our golf chairman. He's done a fantastic job. Amanda Croner from the school, she's been working with mm-hmm. it, and we've got a lot of great sponsors. So we're bringing money in, which is the important thing. Hopefully we'll bring more money in, you know, at the golf tournament itself. We're booked solid. We have 104 golfers. We have, I think, three or four white sponsors. Porsche of Mechanicsburg has donated, which really surprised me, because we were kind of waiting, actually, to put this in the brochure. I'm glad you brought this up. A lot of times when you get a car, it's a one-year lease or a three-year lease. This is actually the car. If you get a hole-in-one on number two, you get the car. Porsche is not, no lease, no nothing. Now, I'm assuming you're going to be responsible for tax, title, and, you know, the fees, but you're getting a Porsche. So,
wow. Sorry, fellas, everything is all booked up.
Yeah.
It's too late to go for that car now.
Yeah, you good golfers, you lose.
Oh, no.
The one or two person or people that have ever had a hole-in-one, a number two in Mayapple, I'm sorry, but we can't get you in.
Yeah. And this tour or the tournament's for the school?
Yeah, for the school. They had their, I think it's called Run for Education or Walk for Education. They had that. But all that money goes for computer equipment. It's to make them, you know, technology savvy. But this one here is more just to put in the coffers so that, you know, if a family's having a little bit of trouble getting the kid into school, because there is a cost. I mean, that's one of the hard parts from the school's perspective, but one of the great parts from a parent's perspective, in the fact that they think so much of their child's education that they're willing to spend the extra dollars Amen. To have them go to a Catholic school. And that's just not Catholics. I mean, we have a lot of non-Catholics that send their kids
to pretty much every
Catholic
school.
Yeah, whether it be St. Teresa's, Good Shepherd, Catholic Library, any of the schools in the area. And probably throughout the United States.
Right. And the reason we're talking about the tournament is because there's so much knight involvement in the tournament. I know even our council, we have sponsored one of the holes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what we did was we went out to all the councils in the diocese, but especially those that are directly affiliated with the school. You know, St. Catherine Drexel, Our Lady of Queenship Council, which is at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and Good Shepherd, because since their school is closed, a lot of their students are going there, and naturally St. Joseph's. So yeah, it's been a fun time getting ready for it, and then tomorrow, hopefully I'll play better than I did yesterday. but it should be fun.
That'll be good. That'll be excellent.
Yeah, and I'm to piggyback on, I'm playing another golf tournament Saturday, and that one is for the Veterans Association, I guess, at Silver Springs Township. They have a memorial, and this is going to be their 10th annual, and it's to cover the cost of the Veterans Memorial. So, you know, and I'm pretty sure they're booked up solid, too. And it's a good tournament. It's held at the barracks, which kind of appropriate for a Veterans golf tournament.
Maybe you get Mark and Father Dominic while we're playing.
I don't know. Maybe Mark. I don't think Father Dema plays. I don't know.
I don't think he does either, but that would be a fun thing.
Yeah, that's another one of the things that the Knights of Columbus are doing. Our council this Sunday, we're going to be dedicating our memorial to the unborn after our 11 o'clock Mass. And we're hoping that a lot of our Knights are going to come out for that. We raised money to pay for that thing, and it's going to be really. We've never had one at our church. We've never had a memorial for the unborn. So, this has been a year long project, right, Russ?
Oh, it's been more than a year long. I think the planning actually started back in 2018.
Really?
And of course, COVID got in the way a little bit, and we had some setbacks. But we came out through, and we had funding and everything. A lot of the Knights chipped in to pay for the cost of the memorial. So it was quite a group effort.
It's neat to actually see it there. It was installed, and now it's covered because we're going to have the dedication on Sunday. But it's neat to actually see it there after all that time and work and thought went into it. So we're really pleased. And Monsignor King is going to be dedicating it after that, like I said, after 11 o'clock Mass on Sunday. So we're really, really, really looking forward to that. Again, it's another thing where the Knights of Columbus are going to we're trying to. I think we do a lot of things behind the scenes, the Knights of Columbus, that people don't know in the parishes, and I think we need to do a better job. I think all the councils around here need to do a better job letting everybody know, just, you know, who's back there, cleaning those pews during COVID, you know, mm-hmm. who's doing all that work behind the scenes, because it's the Knights of Columbus. Whenever the pastor says, well, we need this, we need that, well, who's got to step up to the plate to do that?
Yeah, it's just, yeah,
it's the Knights. Yeah.
We're ourselves, mm-hmm. if it's our parish.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
It's the way it is. You know, it's what we do. Interesting thing. And it just caught me off guard this morning. I stopped for breakfast on the way in at the diner. And during COVID, you walk in with your mask, you take it off to eat breakfast, and you put it back on to leave. Well, you'd have the little packets of salt and pepper and sugar and all that stuff. I walked in this morning and finally realized the sugar shaker and the salt and pepper shaker around the counter with the jelly and everything.
Yeah.
Just the little things.
Mm-hmm.
We're slowly getting back to some semblance of normalcy.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I had a blood draw today, and it was the same thing. Yeah, I don't have to wear a mask, or none of us do, because we're all vaccinated. But in the hospitals, you still have to.
Yes.
And it was kind of strange, because the young lady that was drawing my blood, she says, I've had COVID, I've had the vaccine. She says, and you and I are both wearing masks. I said, yeah, I know that. And she says, they're hoping that eventually even the hospitals will change their policy to people who have been vaccinated. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, but I've been going to restaurants, and I know down the Legion, down in Dillsburg, they've had everything out. You know, it was almost pretty much to normal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few people that still have to wear masks, but it's usually the younger people that you see with the mask on. Those of us who are a little bit older, we've had the vaccine, and you know, hopefully not transmitting anything to anyone.
Well, for me, you know, I think you guys all know that I'm a musician, and the last time I played in public before the pandemic was Valentine's Day, back, you know, a year and a half ago. So for me to actually start playing in front of people again is a real treat.
All righty, there you go. Well, you just played the other night with your brother. We can talk about that when you're back after the break. Anyway, we'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and as we went to break, I was teasing my boss, Joe Nemechinski. He was saying about being a musician and playing in public, and he and his brother were playing in public up in
Schuylkill County, last weekend.
And we're getting back to normal.
That's right. As a matter of fact, as we record this, I'm going to be playing with him again tonight at a wine festival. So it's pretty exciting, and for me, it's special because when I get to play with my brother. My brother's 4 years younger than me, and he's a fantastic musician. Both of us grew up loving music, and I'm the one that became a music teacher. He's the one that has much more talent than I do, though. So he can play every instrument so incredibly. So it's such an honor to play with him, and so I'm looking forward to doing that. And he and I have a special. Well, we have special bonds with our siblings, and. Because we live about an hour and a half away, so I don't get to see him as much as I'd like to, but we're making efforts to see each other. And, you know, the older you get, the more you appreciate the time with your family.
Oh. Oh.
And that's something that, you know, as we all get older, it's one of those things that, you know, you took for granted before. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of neat talking about, you know, that Joe and his brother got to get together. And one of the things that we discovered, we're going to be doing a Polish mass and a Polish Sunday, you know, be in the afternoon, and Father Rosman is asked for something similar, and J.T. Solonik was the one going out and getting information, and Clay Kiefer, our Grand Knight, was trying to get bands. And it was amazing when you start calling these individuals who are like the Golden Tones, polka dots, the ones that actually play a lot of Polish music, said, we haven't played. Mm-mm. And we don't know if, because a lot of them are bands that, you know, it's friends getting together and they've played for years, but now all of a sudden, well, I haven't seen John for a year and a half. I haven't seen Joe for a year and a half, and I don't know if we really are able to get together.
Yeah, it's going to take some time for groups to get back together. No, I play in a big band, and I also have a trio, and we haven't been able to get together yet, you know? So it's going to take a while. I think as the summer goes on, things are going to get, like you were saying earlier, Joe, things are going to get more normal. And I think that people are really anxious to go out and do stuff. So, like, all events are going to be jammed this year. I know. I don't know if I should say this. I guess I should. The radio station is going to have an information tent at the Farmers Fair this fall in Dillsburg in October. And that's the first for the radio station. They're anticipating. I got my haircut yesterday, and my barber is on the committee that plans the Dillsburg Farmers Fair. That's a big, big community event in Dillsburg that's happened for like 105 years or something like that, but never canceled until last year. So everybody in Dillsburg is really looking forward to it, and it's one of those big, big events. It's like Jubilee Day in Mechanicsburg.
Well, yeah, it's even bigger than the pickle drop on New Year's Eve.
It's even bigger than that, yes. So, but we're going to they're anticipating giant crowds at this thing, like any events that happened this summer.
Sure, but it's they were saying about the pickle drop. You know, Lebanon drops the bologna, Hershey drops the Hershey Kiss. You know, we need to get back to that semblance of normalcy. Not that our lives are messed up, but it's like there's 233 or 223 individual homes in our development that I live in, okay? Mm. I can't tell you the last time I saw anybody on the street. Seriously. I mean, you know, you go out in the morning and people are still sleeping. You come back, you may see one or two, and they'll wave at you walking a dog, but it's now finally just starting to open up. You can see it, yeah.
Well, I think that's part of the why people are coming out too, is you cramp up people for a year and a half, and then the minute you have an event, everybody wants to go. Matter of fact, this past Sunday, Father Sod is leaving us, and after the 11:30 Mass, we had three food trucks come out, and all the parishioners that wanted to say goodbye to Father were there. And like a fool, I could have saw Father when he first came out because we were setting up the chairs and the tables and everything, but I decided, no, I'll wait, you know, because I'm talking to everybody. And next thing I know, I look down and it's 2.5 hours later and the line still has about 100 people in it, and Mike had to get in line. And I thought, boy, did I blow this. I could have done this, you know, 3 hours ago and not been here. But it was really a nice thing. It was I think it was very respectful of everyone to come out and say goodbye to Father. Naturally, I had to have some fun. So I went over to Father Rosman, shook his hand, and I said, I'm sorry to see you leave. And then I said, oh, wait, you're not going.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the things about all of our priests. We got some really great priests in the diocese. And
we're very blessed.
Yeah, we really are.
You know, being in the Knights, along those lines, being in the Knights and being here at the radio station, we see a lot of the priests and talk to them more, I think, than your average parishioner may see Father after Mass on a Sunday. But it's like you know them and they're like family, and they truly should be. We surprised Father, just read a letter a couple weeks ago, he's going to be at the cathedral for another 6 years. So behind his back, they went out and they did a spiritual bouquet thing. So after 9:30 Mass last Sunday, he was out for communion and stuff, went back in the sacristy. So when it was all said and done, Father Zawicki says, Father Brower, can you come back out here? And he wouldn't come out, and he wouldn't come out, and then he hollered at Eric, the sacristan. He said, Eric, would you have Father Brower come out here on the altar, please? You know, so you know, they finally did this and presented it to him. He just goes and does. It's like the Roman collar, me being a priest, that's my job. I don't need this kind of response and love back when we're going, oh, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you do. That's just the way it is. Yeah.
And that's one of the things I missed about Quo Vadis. We're going to do it hopefully this year, but I miss meeting all the seminarians. You know, right now I go down the list every morning when I say my prayers. That's one of the things I do, is I say a rosary for whoever the priests are listed for that day. And then they also have the seminarians on the front. And I look at the names and I think, gee whiz, I never met this one. Mm-hmm. Gee whiz, I never met this one. And it's because of the four or five that came in during that COVID period, you never got to meet them. And And yet, when you see the other ones that you did get to meet and you get to see them once in a while, it's really neat.
Yeah, are we going to be able to be involved? Are Knights going to be able to be involved this year with the...
Yes, yeah, we are going to do that. I'm holding off, waiting for Father Sawicki and Deb Kerstetter to get a head count because, you know, we have to buy the food. And then all that also determines how many Knights we need. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got 50 young people coming, plus the seminarians and the priests that are there, well, that's X amount of Knights. If you have 110, you need a little bit more Knights, and we need more food and on that. So, yeah, we're still in the planning stages. They've changed the things, as we said last show. You know, you don't have to be proof of vaccination now. You don't have to have the test done. You know, I guess they are going to take temperatures and all that normal stuff. But it's a little more open.
Yeah, we're lucky that Mount St. Mary's is so close to
us.
I mean,
really.
Right on the road. I know that... we're also promoting our church the men's retreat, the diocesan men's retreat that's coming up. It's that weekend that crosses July into August. The registration's happening for that right now. So I should probably have the information. If I had the information for that, I would like put it out right now. But
like
that's what
July
it is.
30th
July 30th into August 1st. Yeah. Yeah, you can, anybody that wants the information on that, can just give us a call at the radio station. We'll be happy to share it with you. But that's a real, if you've never been at that retreat at Mount St. Mary's, it's a really, really great time to get away, turn off your cell phone. It starts Friday night and ends at noon on Sunday. And it's just down at Mount St. Mary's, so it's not very far.
Yeah,
they have great facilities.
An hour and change to get to campus.
Yeah.
An hour 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And while we're talking, you know, I talked about Father Sod, and then you were saying about the... dedication you're going to have this weekend. That'll probably be one of the last official acts of Monsignor King before his departure.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, because he'll be leaving that's his last day, because then on Monday, June 21st, is when they switches make
everybody,
place.
All priests are being moved. Yeah. They're going to be moving around. Monsignor King is vice rector is his title, I guess, at the seminary at Mount St. Mary's.
That's correct.
And then Father Pershing is going to be your new pastor.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It's and the, you know, we get the two with Father Reddick and the other name escapes me. That were just ordained and are out. One is up in Lewistown with.
Yeah, I wish I could help you, Joe, but I can't. And it's only because I can see his face. I can see both of their face, but I have
our new priest.
We were there. We were in the ordination. Yeah. Oh, Lord, God forgive me, both of you. But they're out there just starting their ministry, and you have some of the priests that are 30, 40, 50 years and still in ministry. And God love you all. Mm-hmm. God love you all for that.
Yeah, we're really very lucky in our diocese. And like we said before, for some reason... between Bishop Gaynor and I guess Father Foray, they really select the perfect priest to match up with the newly ordained or the seminarians for their pastoral assignments. They just seem to match them up so perfect that the personalities, everything is there. Or if they're lacking, you know, if you've got one that's really outgoing and the other one's a little more introverted, it just seems to mesh.
It seems to work, for their first
really
and second assignments until they get their feet wet, for lack of a better term. I kiddingly said to them several weeks before ordination, I managed to see them, they were down at the cathedral for something, helping Father do something down there. And I said, I just want you guys to remember something. A good sermon needn't be long, and a bad one shouldn't be.
Well, I'll tell you, we're doing something different at our parish right now. We're actually getting to critique the homily. And that's a lot of courage.
That's
it really and truly is. I mean, you really leave yourself out there because you're going to get people that, pick up on one or two words. They don't really, they'll take the entire homily out of context based on one or two words that are said. So from that perspective, the priest has really taken a possible hit. I did fill out the form. The homily wasn't for either one of our priests, though, so that maybe that's why they did it. It was for Deacon Matthew Smith. He gave the homily. So I filled it out, and I know that starting in July, I guess it is, we're actually going to be filling them out from parishioners that are in the area. And I guess we're getting close. So I want to say one other thing. As you know, we're all Knights. And Joe, I think, said so well about what the Knights do in the background. Everyone out there, if you would like to be a member of the Knights of Columbus, we only need 400 Knights, I think it's 400, to make Circle of Honor. And that would mean that only every council only needs to bring in one new night. And right now, whole state of Pennsylvania, and right now it's free. McGivney 2020, if you write that down and when you go online to become a knight, you don't even pay dues the first year. That's a commercial from Mike Kish, the membership director of the state of Pennsylvania, and Ken Krugel, the state deputy.
There you go. There's no shame.
No.
With that, guys, thanks for coming in and doing the show. I'm Joe Murphy. Thank you for listening. Stay safe out there. God bless.